What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to the Locked On Pirates podcast today on Tuesday, October 19th. I hope you all are having a wonderful Tuesday. Hope everything is going well for you. And on today's podcast, we have a plentiful amount of things to talk about. Of course, who's going to start in right field for the Pirates at the beginning of 2022? There's some options in the organization. There's some options outside of the organization that some of us may already be very familiar with heading into free agency and Rule 5 and a bunch of other parts of the offseason. Also, the Boston Red Sox offense has come alive. We're going to look at how they have had success so far this postseason, and can the Dodgers come out of a 2-0 hole once again against the Atlanta Braves in the NLCS for the second straight year? All that and more today on today's episode of Locked On Pirates. But before we get started, I want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. They have all the parts your car or truck will ever need. And when you go to rockauto.com right now, if you go do it and you need some parts for your car, let them know that Ethan Smith of the Locked On Pirates podcast sent you. And let's get right into today's episode. Let's do it, baby.
You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to the Locked On Pirates podcast. I am, of course, your host, Ethan Smith, who does the most. I hope, again, that you all are having a phenomenal Tuesday as we get closer and closer to my 23rd birthday. My 23rd birthday, of course, is going to be October 30th. On October 29th, we're going to be doing a birthday bash. I have no idea who's going to be joining me on that podcast, but I'm going to have plenty of people. I'm going to try to have a good amount of people there for my birthday bash, talking about, at that point, the World Series, because the World Series, one of the biggest reasons I fell in love with baseball is because the World Series is always around my birthday. And, you know, right now, my predictions for the World Series, especially with what I said last week about the Dodgers and the Astros, is not looking too great. Boston Red Sox, of course, have hit three grand slams so far this year in the postseason against the Houston Astros. And Houston Astros starting pitching right now has just been awful in that series. I believe their ERA is above an 18 right now. The Boston Red Sox, man, they're a fun team. And Shane Bloom made some very good moves once again this year. And we'll see how these next couple of games shape up. But both teams, I believe, play today. And the Atlanta Braves, again, I mean, you have to think as a Braves fan right now. Shout out to Dylan Short over at Locked On Braves. If you want to hear everything that's going on over there, make sure you go check him out. You know, there's a lot going on in the MLB postseason at the moment. And the Pirates can take a lot from what they're seeing right now. Me and Gary, of course, yesterday talked about the conundrum that we've seen with starting pitching in this postseason. The Astros, of course, have reason. I mean, Jose Urquidy yesterday let eight straight people on base, gave up a grand slam, was pulled after giving up six runs. That makes sense, right? But the whole Max Scherzer thing with him getting pulled and then some other pitchers that have been pulled relatively early in this postseason, it's kind of concerning in terms of the market of what pitchers are going to be looking for, because they're not going to be getting these big contracts anymore. There's no way that if this is how they're going to be treated in the postseason, that they're going to continuously get these big contracts. And for the Pirates, you know, I would stack on the bullpen then if this is how it's going to go down the road, especially with Derek Shelton. I mean, you look at Derek Shelton and how his kind of way of dealing with starting pitching this year was with playoff pitching, and it was very similar. I mean, he usually only let the Pirates pitchers go about five innings a game. Like, you saw JT Brubaker, Max Kranich, all these guys, they would pitch very, very, very well, but then they would only go like five innings. And you've seen that all postseason. And realistically, if you're the Pirates looking down the road, if they do get back to the postseason in the next couple years, as they are still in a full rebuild, save your comments about rebuilds right now. I don't want to see them. I already know like how we all feel about Bob Nutting and not spending. But realistically, when you're looking at building a winning roster, most of the time you do look for that, you know, very strong pitcher on the staff. But for the Pirates, as mentioned yesterday, I don't think they really need that ace on the in the staff. They don't really need it. Just have a deep rotation. Have some guys, if you need to use them in the bullpen, you can use them in the bullpen if you need to, if you're eventually competing again. And that's not something they need to worry about right now. I have said on the podcast, and we're going to talk about this tomorrow, some veteran pitching that they can go and look after here in this free agency window in 2021 and 2022. And later in today's podcast, some guys that could be outside of the organization that the Pirates could bring in to play right field. One of them that's still playing in the playoffs as of right now, and a couple that are also very familiar to Pirates fans. But the whole deal with it is I still don't get the starting pitching dilemma. I just don't know why they're not letting these guys pitch longer, especially with like just how things have gone. I mean, you're going to burn out all of your pitching by the time the World Series gets there, and you've seen the Boston Red Sox, they've taken advantage of it. I mean, they've taken advantage of Astros starting pitching by a mounds in this series right now. I mean, they've won the last couple games by a ridiculous margin. It almost feels like Cincinnati playing Pittsburgh every night. But the big part of this is not even with the starting pitching for the Astros. It has a lot to do with why they're losing the games. But as this series continues to go longer, it's guaranteed to go at least five. But the Astros, I don't think they're going to lose in five games. If they do win one of these games, though, and it gets to game six or even a game seven, it's going to be very tough for them because they've had to use their bullpen so much so far in this series that who are you going to throw out there on short rest that you can depend on to beat the Red Sox, who, as of right now, with Xander Bogaerts, Rafael Devers, Kyle Schwarber, JD Martinez all hitting the ball like crazy right now, who are you going to depend on to get three outs? And realistically, that's where I think pitching – I will always say this. Pitching is the most important part of a baseball team. Yes, the game is moving more towards offense. Offense, you know, is more fun to watch. But here's the idea of it behind it. Offense might be more fun to watch, but defense wins championships even in baseball. It's just true. Defensive teams, defensive-minded teams win championships. And that was one thing to tie back to the Pirates was very nice to see with this team this year is that they improved so much defensively. If they can continue to be that good defensive team and then have the bats like a Travis Swaggerty, an O'Neill Cruz, a Mason Martin, a Tucapita Marcano, a Michael Escato, a Henry Davis whenever he's ready, a Nick Gonzalez, a Leover Peguero, if those bats come along and they're very good defensively as well, you've killed two birds with one stone at that point. And that's one thing that I'm seeing from the Red Sox as well. They're playing a very good defensive style of baseball right now. And the Houston Astros were the only team in all of baseball better than the Pirates in fielding percentage this year. That's why they've been so consistently good, because guys like Carlos Correa, Jose Altuve, and a lot of those other guys, Alex Bregman, have been very good defensively, but their pitching now is falling apart. And I don't know if having Lance McCullers out is as massive of a deal as I thought it was, but I mean, I was like, okay, they're going to be fine. Like, it's one starting pitcher in the entire staff, but Lance McCullers would be a major player to have right now for the Houston Astros. Cause you had to ask me, I would say he's their best pitcher. Like, and not having your best pitcher against a team right now that's just on fire, the Red Sox are like just ridiculous right now. And if they win tonight, I believe they do play tonight, if I'm not mistaken. The schedule gets a little weird. Like, it's like one of the days they only play one game, and then the other day they play twice, and then they have one game again. But yes, both teams do play tonight. And if you had to ask me, I'm betting on Boston, and Boston is favored in that game as well. And these teams are only separated by three losses. I think a lot of people got it mistaken that these teams are super far apart and like, you know, but the AL East was strong this year. And seeing the Red Sox only three games worse than the Astros and everybody, like including myself, I said the Red Sox are going to win this in six or seven, but I didn't think that they were going to be doing it this easily. And moving forward, this game four is the biggest game of the series. No doubt about it. The Red Sox are up 2-1. The Astros are down 2-1. The odds on here of game four in almost any sport that has a series is the most important series, because one, a team can either win the series if they're up 3-0, or with a team being up or down 2-1, the difference between being tied 2-2 and making it a best of three series, which is what you play all year for 162 games usually, or being down 3-1 and then having to win three games in a row, especially one in Boston, that's going to be tough for the Houston Astros if they lose tonight. If you had to ask me to make a prediction, I think the Astros will tie up the series tonight. I don't think they, and even if they lose, I don't think they're going to get blown out like they have the last couple games. But I would have to side with the Astros here in this game. I just don't think they're going to fall apart that quickly. I mean, if they falter and they fall down 3-1, this series is done in five games. I'll be honest with you right now. Just go ahead and book it. If they lose to Boston tonight, the series is done. The series is over. And realistically, that's kind of the crazy part of the success that we've seen from the Dodgers and the Astros, and we'll get into the Dodgers and the Braves here in a second, but both of these teams are in must-win series tonight. That's crazy, and they have some fixing to do. But if you need some fixing to do as well, make sure you head to rockauto.com. Of course, you heard us earlier. Shout out our friends over at Rock Auto. Rock Auto, of course, is the family business that has been serving do-it-yourselfers for the last 20 years. Of course, Rock Auto has all the parts your car will ever need. And with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You, of course, have computers or your phone to access rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution for your auto parts needs. Go to Rock Auto right now, and in the How Did You Hear About Us box, let them know that Ethan Smith of the Locked On Pirates podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. That is Rock Auto, all the parts your car will ever need. And, you know, like the Dodgers and the Astros, they got some fixing to do right now. And they have all the things you could need. Now, for the Atlanta Braves and the Los Angeles Dodgers, this is an interesting one because tonight you get Walker Buehler and Charlie Morton. Atlanta, their first two games, they have like walked off against the Dodgers, the first two. I mean, Austin Riley has been great. Freddie Freeman has not. And I was talking to a friend yesterday who's a Braves fan, and he said, yeah, we're up 2-0, but Freddie Freeman's not playing that great. He'll turn it around. What if he doesn't? What if he doesn't? That's the big question here. Freddie Freeman is a very, very, very big part of what the Atlanta Braves do, how they're successful. And yes, they're up 2-0. They were up at 2-0 last year in this situation with Ronald Acuna, if I may add. And give me 1 second. Mouth got a little dry there. But you don't have Acuna. You have a struggling Freddie Freeman. But the pitching has been the story in the series. Nobody will doubt that. We look at what the Braves have done. 5-4, 2-3, 5-4, 3-0, 3-0, 2-1. Every single game the Braves have played has been, like, very low scoring. Okay? So, you get Charlie Morton and Walker Buehler on the mound tonight. I would expect another defensive game. The thing with the Dodgers, though, what happens when the offense picks up? That's the one part of this like entire postseason that the Braves against the Brewers and now the Dodgers, and they've only lost one game in this postseason. What happens when the other team starts scoring runs? And not like four runs. I mean, what happens when the Dodgers have 8 runs, 9 runs? Because it's going to happen. Mookie Betts and that offense are not going to continuously keep scoring 2 runs a game or 4 runs a game. It's just not going to happen. I'll believe it when I see it. And if it happens, I will eat crow on it. I've ate crow a lot in this postseason already, because I predicted the Tampa Bay Rays to be in the World Series, and they're already not here. And the Milwaukee Brewers, I predicted to win that series against Atlanta. But Atlanta and the Dodgers and then the Astros and the Red Sox are kind of different right now. They're contrasting styles of how to win games. The Red Sox are winning games off the backs of huge offense. They've had three grand slams in the last two games. You're going to win games if you hit three grand slams in two games. It's just how it is. The Braves have been pitching very well and then getting the wins at the very end. That's just, they've been there. And as our pal Sully over at Locked On MLB would say, a lot of winning a World Series is skill and a lot of it is luck. The Braves, you could say they've been lucky in these first two games. You could say they played very well. Those are both very valid points. But walking off two nights in a row, that's kind of cause for concern. It's a little cause for concern. I think the Dodgers as well, I talked about this yesterday. I said in game two they were going to bounce back. I definitely think they bounce back tonight. I think Walker Buehler pitches a gem. I think the Dodgers, especially going back home, I think that's going to be their biggest thing. Is it so weird to see them start the series in Atlanta, especially since Atlanta is an 88-win team and the Dodgers are a 106-win team? It's very weird to see that. But I think the Dodgers, going back to Chavez Ravine, I think that they're going to win tonight. And I think that that will get their offense going. And I think I could really expect an offensive output here from the Los Angeles Dodgers. I would bet they're over on runs all day, every day of the week today. And if you're with me on that, I mean, you can be with me on that. You cannot be with me on that. Either way, I think that they're going to pull that out. So I've already said the Astros and the Dodgers are going to bounce back. Now, do I expect them to win the series? The Astros, no. The Dodgers, yes. Like, if you had to ask me right now as a betting person who is going to come back and win the series, I would say the Dodgers, even being down 2-0. Just because the Astros, I think, right now have not shown me enough pitching-wise to say that if it gets to six or seven games, you're going to give me a good pitching performance against Kyle Schwarber, J.D. Martinez, Xander Bogaerts, and Rafael Devers. They haven't shown me that. They just haven't. And Kike Hernandez, by the way, I haven't even mentioned him yet. I tweeted yesterday or the other day, and you guys loved it. Kike Hernandez, if he's ever in a Pirates uniform, I'm buying that jersey on the spot. There's no way you will not convince me to buy that jersey as soon as I find out what number he's wearing and all that. I will buy it. Like, give it to me right now. But speaking of that, again, so to recap, I think the Dodgers and Astros both win tonight. I think the Dodgers and the Astros both win tonight. I think the Astros are going to tie the series, and then the Dodgers are going to bring it within a game. And I want to stick with that. But the reason I stopped there is because I brought up Kike Hernandez. And in the next segment, the final segment of today's podcast, we're going to go ahead and talk about some right field options for the Pittsburgh Pirates in free agency outside of the organization. But before that, if you want to bet alongside with me today, make sure you go to betonline.ag. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for another NFL season, as well as the MLB postseason. The NBA starts tonight. Hockey has already started, and football is all over the place, all over the map. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football, baseball, basketball, and hockey. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. And don't forget to use that promo code at the bottom of the screen, Locked On, to receive that bonus from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports and the MLB postseason. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Now, who starts in right field for the Pirates in this year? You know, it's a very good question. And while I type that out so you can see it on the screen, it's going to be a very interesting one. It's going to cover my name and everything, but, you know, who cares? The right fielding spot this year is going to be, you know, it's tough. It's going to be one of those things where you could stay in the organization with the team rebuilding. I'd have no issue with that at all. You have Travis Swaggerty, Jared Oliva, even O'Neill Cruz, if you teach him how to play the position. Tucapita Marcano is a very, very versatile guy. If you could teach him how to field, Yoshi Tsutsugo, if he's still there, but Yoshi Tsutsugo, I think, is not a right fielder in any capacity. He looked better in terms of, fielding and all that good stuff, but he never really improved on it that much. And the thing is with me as well is you might as well go outside of what you're looking at. I mean, it doesn't hurt. And I'll have that up there for you as well, but I'm going to bring up some names. And the first one I'm going to bring up is because I've already seen that the Pirates like a lot of defensive versatility in their lineup. And this guy is still playing right now. And I already mentioned his team earlier in the podcast. It's Chris Taylor from the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, Chris Taylor is a very interesting part of it because I don't think at this point in his career he would want to come to a team that's rebuilding. But if the contract's right, the contract's right. And I would assume he stays with the Dodgers. That's something I'll have to ask Jeff Snyder and all those and Ulysses or not. No, that's Ulysses is Locked On Rays. That's something I'll have to ask Jeff Snyder over there at Locked On Dodgers if he might be available. I know he is a free agent, so there's a very big part of me that says, okay, maybe you can go get him. Maybe you can make that work, but we'll see. Chris Taylor, that's a guy that I would love. Defensive versatility. He could play middle infield. He could play right field. He could play center. He could play anywhere. And that's what I like to see from the Pittsburgh Pirates. I like to see them have a bunch of guys like that, like a Cole Tucker, like a Brian Reynolds, who can move all around the outfield. Tucapita Marcano can move all over the place. Michael Chavis, Yoshi Tsutsugo, for what it was worth, he can move everywhere. These next three names, well, four, are going to be some that you're more familiar with. The first one has never played with the Pirates, but Michael Conforto, of course, is probably one of the biggest right field free agents in all of baseball this year, if not the biggest. I doubt the Pirates go out and spread cash like that. He's slated to get $19 million a year. It would be fun. He's coming off of a down year. You could take a flyer on him. I think he goes back to the Mets, though. I don't think he's going to leave New York. I don't think he wants to leave New York. But he's a guy that you could throw out there as well. The next three, I'm going to fire him off, and then I'm going to give a reason why. Austin Meadows, Starling Marte, and Andrew McCutchen. Wow, where have we heard those names before, right? Let's start with Meadows. The Tampa Bay Rays, of course, their season didn't end the way it wanted to. Austin Meadows, big reason why the Rays have been successful out there. He's played very well in right field. He's been a phenomenal player there in Tampa. And now Tampa, after this, has said that Tyler Glasnow could be available. Austin Meadows could be available. Kevin Kiermaier could be available. And it seems like they want to get, they want to get a new regime around Wander Franco, which there's no issue with that. But if they do make Austin Meadows available, what prospect do you want to trade in the top 30 if you're a Pirates fan? That's a big question. It's a very big question. Because are you okay with trading with the Rays again to get Austin Meadows, who big left-handed power bat, has proven himself now, but the last regime saw fit that he was a tradable asset in the Chris Archer trade. Do you trade, say, Michael Burrows or Jared Jones and Eddie Yean or Jared Jones and Ji-Won Bae for Austin Meadows? Do you do that? It's a big question, and I'm taking the pauses to let you think about it as I say it. What top 30 prospects would you be okay with getting rid of, considering you're not going to trade them your number 30 prospects? So I'll say top 20. What top 20 prospects, and I say prospects because it's going to take more than one, would you be okay with for trading for Austin Meadows if he becomes available in the offseason to bring him back to Pittsburgh? It's a tough question. And I mean, for me, I would rather just go get a free agent or just stay in house. But again, you also have to look at what Austin Meadows brings to the table. He hits better than Polanco. Polanco's obviously not here anymore, but he hits better than Polanco. PNC Park is a very, very nice park for left-handed power bats. Look at Colin Moran. Look at Brian Reynolds being a switch hitter. They're there. Look at Pedro Alvarez back in the 2013 through 2015 era. Look at, I mean, there's a lot of options. And there's guys there, but Austin Meadows is a real, he's a real guy that you could bring back if you wanted to for the right price. That's just if Ben Cherington wants to do it. Do I want him to do it? No. Would I be mad if he did? No. I would be elated to see Austin Meadows back. It would just depend on the price. And now I also mentioned Starling Marte and Andrew McCutchen. Of course, Andrew McCutchen and Marte, both on the A's and the Phillies, who were teams that just fell out of the postseason. I'll start with Marte. Ever since Marte has left the Pirates, he's played on like five different teams now. He was in Miami. Well, it's been three, technically. He played in Arizona when we traded him there for Leover Peguero and, oh, Lord, I'm blanking. One of our top 10 pitchers in the system now. It was Carmen Majinski. There we go. Then he was traded from Arizona to Miami. Didn't work out in Miami. Then he gets traded from Miami to the Oakland Athletics. And I think you kind of saw him spark up a little bit in Oakland this year. Oakland, I don't see them re-signing him at all. He's going to go to free agency. Oakland, with this big deal that they have going on with the stadium and everything, I fully expect them to just not spread cash at all. They could even trade people like Matt Olson and Matt Chapman. Shout out to Jason Burke. He's one of our best hosts here at the Locked On Podcast Network. He's Locked On A's. Sure, he has a lot to say about it. Bringing back Starling Marte would be interesting. Because either way, and I'll say this before I get to McCutchen as well, either way, you're bringing back a veteran guy that used to be here. I don't think there was bad blood ever with Marte or McCutchen getting traded from here. And I'm sure Marte would come back. I do think he's going to get a hefty amount of money from somewhere. And I wouldn't expect him not to. But bringing him back would, one, give you speed on the base pass, which the Pirates are actually pretty good at stealing bases this year. He could play right field, which would give you a Gamble, Reynolds, Marte outfield. Boy, does that sound fun. Like, that sounds fun. Really fun. Or you could even switch them and put Gamble in left and or right and Marte in left. Marte is one of those outfielders. You could put him in any outfield spot and he'll be fine. Do the Pirates spread the cash a little bit and bring back a familiar face in the rebuild? Same thing with Andrew McCutchen. Andrew McCutchen, of course, I think he's a prime, if he doesn't come back to Pittsburgh, I think he's a prime come back to Pittsburgh on a one-day contract and retire a Pirate. Just because he saw his all of his success, mainly in his prime, in Pittsburgh, won an MVP, made the playoffs three times, was eventually traded to the San Francisco Giants, then to the New York Yankees, and then to the Philadelphia Phillies. Either one of them would be great for a familiar face, but from the logical standpoint, do you want to bring in a guy like that that's going to take away from Travis Swaggerty, Kaden Smith and Jigba, and Matthew Frazier potentially next year as outfielding prospects? I don't think Matthew Frazier is going to be up here next year, but he's a guy to mention. Do you want to take away from them to bring back a familiar face and maybe make the team a little more competitive? It's a possibility. But of the guys I all mentioned, Chris Taylor would probably be my favorite to bring in. I would love to see Andrew McCutchen back. I mean, just the pure like happiness that would be in PNC Park against the St. Louis Cardinals on opening day if Andrew McCutchen, number 22, suits up in right field for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Dude, like, I would fly to Pittsburgh to watch that game. Like, for real. But I want to hear your thoughts, guys. I want to know your thoughts of those guys I mentioned. Maybe some other guys that are out there as well. There's a plentiful amount of names. Do you want the Pirates to stay in the organization in right field, or do you want them to go out and maybe bring back a familiar face or bring in another free agent? Let me know on Twitter. You can find my Twitter right here at MVP_Ethan. You can find this podcast on YouTube, Odyssey, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts, as well on YouTube. If you see my wonderful face, you're already watching on YouTube. I am, of course, your host, Ethan Smith. Go follow the Twitter at Locked On Pirates. And again, let me know your thoughts about who's going to start in right field for the Pirates in 2022. But until then, guys, thank you for making me your first listen of the day, every single day, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am Ethan Smith, the host of Locked On Pirates, and I will see you on the flip side.